This is an ABC podcast.
I'm Miyuki Okiranta, and on Earshot today, a sequel.
A lot of people say sheep are dumb, but I don't know whether who's the dumb ones, the people working with the sheep or the sheep.
The town of Hay, New South Wales, was once renowned for quality shearers and difficult sheep.
If I was winning $1 million or $10 million, I wouldn't leave Hay. Like, I've been here, so I'm a Hay person.
It's not a real good environment to be brought up in, but some people make it and some people don't.
In 2011, a young ABC producer named Mike Williams travelled to Hay.
And can you tell me what are you rigging up here?
I just put my belt on.
Oh, right, that's not anything special, okay. No.
And he spent a week documenting a shearing team.
Life's pretty tough as a shearer. Like, there's no singing in the showers at Kino's place, you know?
He met a colourful boss named Kino.
You get paid on the amount of sheep you shear. If you're shearing and the bloke beside you, he's shearing, say, 30 a run, human instinct to try and shear one more than him.
And his 20-something-year-old daughter, Kayla, the wool classer.
A lot of our shearers are just blow-ins, so you're not going to see a lot of that mateship and all that sort of carry-on. You're just going to see people just come here, shear, and then get the hell out of this place.
He learnt about the challenges for those working in the industry. Isolation, drugs, alcohol, loneliness and maintaining relationships while away from home are all job hazards.
What would you be doing if you weren't shearing? Be in a lot of trouble probably.
Because shearers work hard, they play hard too, a lot of them.
Yeah, I've been smoking since the age of 10. That's pot. I had a pretty casual old man, I did.
Do you feel like you don't have friends?
Pretty much, yeah. No general, you know, true friends.
9 years later, Mike is taking us back to Hay to find out how shearing has changed. And as the price of wool hits a record low and the industry grapples with only 3,000 shearers left, we return to discover how injury, mental health and community disadvantage are playing out. Heads up, this story contains some coarse language.
That wasn't here last time. There's a giant sheep sitting high on a telegraph pole. At night it's alight. It shines like a shearing star of Bethlehem. I've rolled in from the east with nothing but a microphone to offer. Soon I'll find out if returning will make me a wise man. It's been 9 years since I wandered down this driveway on the outskirts of Hay. I'm drawn to the glow of newly converted shipping containers, the buzz of a generator. It's been a long day. I meet Ricky cooking dinner.
What have we got going on here, mate?
Mate, just a quick snap up of cold potatoes we had left over from the other day. Some tomatoes, onions, and a bit of steak. What else the man need?
Looks pretty good.
And a little pommy girl just arrived off a bus and she might be dessert. Yeah, right. No, the shearing industry's pretty good, mate. Look at this.
But within 30 seconds, Ricky's enthusiasm drops. A 3-year drought, poor working conditions, and wages that haven't kept up has meant the job known for being the toughest in the world has only got tougher.
The sheep are bigger, twice as big as what they were 10 years ago, and the conditions haven't changed. 20 years ago, I was making more than what I'm making now, and my costs are 4 times as much. Nothing's improving. That's why young blokes ain't taking it up. No, the industry needs a good shake-up, mate.
With the drought easing, and if the wool price bounces back, Australia's facing a major shortage in shearers. Ricky will still be around, though. But at 60, he won't be chasing numbers or status.
Well, we've been there, done that. Age catches up, and so does everything else. The young blokes are getting better, the gear's getting better. You know, it's all adds up. If I can do 40 a run, every run, I'm happy.
Workers like Ricky are frustrated. They have a love-hate relationship with the job they're stuck in.
Nothing else we can sort of do, because I'm not real literate either. It doesn't help. That's the hardest thing for us old fellas, is trying to move on. You know, I'm oversharing. It's killing my body. I know it is. But what else can I do? Can't afford to retire. Just to go to Thailand and live a good life. But I can't do that. We've got too many grandkids here. Righto, tease up, people. There you go, Frank. You're not allowed none. You have a scrap. Oh, awesome. Do you want your greens?
Five a.m. the next morning. There's a sound I didn't hear last time around. Travellers seeking working holiday visas have become a reliable employment source. After a shower, the morning rush is on for backpackers Joey and Jules. I need to get out the door so they don't hold up their lift.
Get in the car.
The man hustling them to get a move on is the boss, contractor Kino Garner. Waiting in the car to collect
Kayla
is Kino's daughter.
Hey, good to see you. It's good to be back in Hay.
Yeah, it's been a while.
How you doing? How you been?
Yeah, you know, getting old and I don't want to get many wars, but yeah, no, going all right at the moment, yeah.
When everyone leaves, the house is quiet. It's just me and Kino.
I've got $1 million for you. But you got to pack your bags now and we got to leave Hay and never come back.
Nah. Nah.
Do you worry about the future of shearing?
Oh, I find it very bleak. Yeah. I couldn't name you 5 shears I would employ in Hay. And I mean blokes who go to work, shear the consistent numbers, be on time every morning, do a full day.
Chasing good shearers is Kino's bane. Last time I noticed a couple of New Zealand shearers in the team. Now almost the entire crew is Kiwi.
Shearing a sheep, it's the easiest thing out. You go to work, shear your sheep, go home. Do your garner, have a few beers, feed, go to sleep. Get up next day, go to work, shear your sheep, go home. How hard's that? Fuck, someone make it that hard, it's like, you shouldn't be in the industry, mate, simple. Yeah, people go, he's a good shearer. I said, maybe a good shearer, mate. But he's just a complete fucking idiot out of the side of the shearing shed.
On the way to the wool shed, I remember a saying, if you can shear 200 here in the Riverina, you can shear 200 anywhere. Inside, there's some mean-looking blokes, sweating, focused, and blasting their music. I slither in. The playlist always surprises me.
They fill up quick.
Yeah. They fill up quick, right? Second day. Oh, it's real busy.
The production line's in full swing. Their work's exactly the same as I remember it 9 years ago. I'm not sure what I expected to change. Probably the same as it was 100 years ago. The only change I see is the faces. The team's evolved several times. Joseph's pressing the wool up the back. Apparently a bloke called Kingy is the gun.
Does everyone know who's doing what, numbers-wise?
Yep, they all check the tally book.
Am I on your way here?
I find the bloke in charge of penning up the sheep.
You got a mean whistle on you, Jim.
Yeah.
Jim's 82. He's the father of Ricky from the barbecue.
You've been working that for a few years, I can tell.
Yep.
He only stopped shearing 12 months ago. Today he's training a sheep dog.
Kid to it.
He shares the secret.
Kid to it.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Tell us a good dog all day.
Is that how you raised your boys?
Yes.
Jim's dad taught him to shear. And then when he had 4 boys, he taught 3 of them the craft. The 4th became a hairdresser.
All right, I'll leave you with it.
Yeah.
What's the fastest way out of here? Because I realise I'm stuck in this.
No bloody gate to get out, mate.
Big farm here, what they're doing, about 16,000 sheep over these 2 weeks, and they're halfway through. And Kayla is, it's her job, she's the boss. She's the classer. Fuck. Swallowed a fly. That is disgusting.
Kayla, Kino's daughter, is the boss in the shed.
Kayla, it's now a terrible time to ask you about that pressure.
Yeah.
Kayla's stressed they'll run into overtime, but she doesn't show it.
Are you worried?
No, I have every bit of faith in them. The boys will pull together.
What happens if they don't make it?
I'm clearly in the way, and my lack of help was commented on more than once. In the shed, if you don't have a sweat towel, you're not working. In the break, I pull Kayla aside.
I try not to be too intimidating. It is what it is.
There's a calmness about you.
Yeah. Well, the pressure's on and the guys will perform and, like, I'm nice. I'm an easy person to get along with. But, yeah, you can't stand over me. I'm not going to put up with any crap and they know that.
Last time I was here, you told me there was no mateship or any of that sort of carry on out here.
But I don't know, when I came back in, I don't know, I think that might have changed. Has that changed at all?
Yeah, you do see a lot more mateship. It has changed. So 9 years ago when you were here last time, I only just started wool classing and it was pre-kids, so patience was very thin. Now I have a really good patience. Completely different crew back then. You just put up with whoever you had to put up with to get the job done, and now it's not like that at all. If the behaviour's not right, see you later. So we try and keep that bond with everybody.
It's a simple policy, and it works. Kino and Kayla would rather find a new shearer than put up with the drama of an average one.
Whether it's big numbers or small numbers, everyone gets treated the same. You stuff up, you go. If you let this one get away with it, you know, then they start all wanting to keep pushing your buttons all the time. And they're all the same. Some shearers think they're better than the rousebears, you know, treating the rousebears bloody, you know, like shit or some of that, you know, they abuse them, whatever. It's like, it's a work industry. You can't do that in the other industry.
Okay. How's it going?
Good, good.
It's Kingy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And where are you from?
Deniliquin, from New Zealand, though.
Everyone's getting ready to get back on there.
Yep.
Are you ready to go?
Oh, after the smoke, yeah.
Always have a bit of a pop. That's the cue, everyone comes back. It's sort of like clockwork, isn't it?
Yeah. Yep.
When you're the ringer, shearing the most numbers, there's no rush to get back to work. Kingy Poker is 25. He's come down from nearby Deniliquin as he's had trouble with some of the contractors up there.
Yeah, I didn't turn up for work, so the whole, you know, didn't have the balls to call him back or anything like that, so I just found a job elsewhere.
I cornered Kingy about why he's so good, you know, how he's able to shear so many. Much quicker.
Motivation.
He pulls out his phone.
This is the reason why I shear. My little daughter, she's fucking... I look at a photo of her nearly every time I'm on camp out just to remind me why I do work as hard as I do. But I want to give her, you know, things that I never had. A father, you know, that's there and can provide for the family, and that's my dream.
Kingy started shearing after he was expelled from two schools and failed the third. But there's no doubt he's got wool in the blood. Today he's shearing next to his father, his uncle, and his 74-year-old grandfather stopped by. His mum and dad met in a wool shed, but he didn't know his dad until he turned 8.
It was actually probably the best way you could probably meet your old man, actually, was he came to my house and knocked on the door as a pizza delivery man because we ordered pizza. Name tag said Ben, and I just yelled out to my mum, "Pizza's here." He got invited into our house, and, you know, in my head I'm thinking, why is she letting the pizza delivery guy inside? But yeah, then she said, "That's your father." And I was like, "Oh, true, true. Fuck, that's my dad." Awesome.
And what sort of pizza was it?
It was probably Hawaiian.
Kingy knows the shearer's traps. Long periods chasing work can lead to broken families. It's a common story. Just ask Ricky.
I've lost my wife out of the industry, away from home too much, and my own fault, fucking temptation as well. And then when you get into another relationship and you're working together all the time, you start pitching again. So that's everyone's personal relationship, but it is hard.
I, at one stage when I was married, had 8 blokes working for me and a couple of rousies, and I was the only one that was still with their original partner, as in married. Out of 15 of us. At the time, I was quite proud. I'm going, "Well, shit, this is bloody effort." And then a couple of years down the track, I was one of them.
So we were going from house to house, staying at relatives' places while mum and dad both went to work. And, you know, you miss out on a lot of things. And you don't want that for your kids. But, you know, the money. It just draws you back, the money.
Kayla vowed she wouldn't raise her kids in the industry. But all three spent the first 2 years of their lives in the shed, often on Kayla's back while she worked.
They'd sleep the 2-hour runs and then wake up like clockwork as soon as that music and the machine stopped, and they'd be screaming for a cuddle. And if it was any longer than 5 minutes, one of the shearers would go and grab the little bub. They could see also that I was under a lot of pressure.
Kayla, Ricky and Kingy are desperate for their kids to not pick up the handpiece. Even Kino kept his son away.
I sort of fear for bring your kid to work day sort of thing, you know, like people are great, but I don't want that life for her, no.
Kingy told me how he had 60,000 saved up for a deposit on a house, but he had trouble getting a loan. He thinks his job played a key part in their decision.
They'd ended up getting sold for 90,000, so we only needed 30,000 off a bank. So,
do you feel like there's a bit of prejudice that sort of relates to being a shearer?
Yeah, no, I definitely do.
Kayla, how you feeling?
Tired. It's good to get home. It's still buzzing at the moment that they got those sheep finished when they did. Good to finish on a high, ready for tomorrow.
All right, well, thanks for today.
No worries, I'll see you in the morning.
Okay.
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock? All right, yeah, maybe. We'll see.
My presser might need a hand.
After good behaviour, a shearer's best quality is the ability to show up. Kino simplifies it. Keep your word.
What I've always taught my kids is if you promise someone something, regardless what it is in life, you stick to it.
Why is that so important to you?
I might not be the greatest role model in a lot of other things, but keep my word is.
That's what he was taught when he was a kid.
Being the oldest of 12, we lived in a two-bedroom house with a big veranda, and the boys slept out in the veranda, the girls slept in the room inside with mum and dad, and our windows were just a sheet of iron with a post, which can be verified by anyone in Hay. They'd come out and see how we lived. Yeah, pretty sad, but anyway, we all survived it all, and we all own our own houses, which is a credit to all of us. Yeah.
What are you feeling right now? You all right? You want to take a break? You take a break, yeah. Yep, okay.
I assumed Kino was choking up with pride, considering how far his family's come. But it wasn't that. It was something more serious. The past 9 years had been a roller coaster.
All right, it's lunchtime. Smoko, lunch. Who am I with?
Aileen Clark.
Now, Aileen, what did you have for lunch?
I had cocktail frankfurts and a sandwich. I'm just having a cigarette to enjoy it.
I've heard you're a very good rouseabout. That's what I've been told.
Yeah, a lot of people say that.
Oh, you'll take it.
Yeah, of course I will.
Aileen has a lot of respect for how hard the shearers work.
Rob, my partner, he's been in it for 35 years, shearing. He's got a broken down back. He's always whinging that, you know, bad on their back all the time.
Out here, time, access and affordability make injuries a major concern.
A lot of the old-timer guys, they'll push through it. Of course, they're going to get injuries. You've got guys that smoke a pack a day and drink probably a box of beer a night time and come to work and slave for 8 hours a day. You can see every single minute they've spent on their faces and on their bodies, yeah.
Without proper help, injury is just another reason to turn to drugs or alcohol. 9 years ago, I skirted around the issue, but now I can see a trap. Shearing pays well, but the job is hard. To cope, some seek drugs. The drugs cost money, so they need to go to work, and the cycle begins.
Quite a few people I've met have either battled through problems or are battling through problems with drugs.
Joey, one of the backpackers, has seen how co-workers can be affected by drugs like ice. She was also one of many who told me how marijuana is used across the industry to help people cope.
It's kind of like a medicinal thing almost. If your body's that sore, then they want to have a smoke to sleep like a baby, to go to work the next day and go through it again.
The shearers that take it properly deserve to have it.
Ricky estimates that at least a third of all shearers use marijuana regularly.
Because it's relaxing, like you say, it's better than taking chemical drugs. As long as you're not taking that to work, fair enough. But it happens in any, like, yeah, the office. You work in an office, don't you?
Yeah.
Lattes and that do you have in the morning after a big
drink? But whenever you talk to a shearer about drugs,
I'm not.
They're quick to point out that drug taking exists across the community.
The lawyers and the doctors and the
which is true. And at the same time, I doubt a third of all bakers are smoking a joint at night to forget about how many Ninish tarts they sold that day.
The drugs is really bad.
Kingy told me people would have been using drugs in the shed today. He thinks it's getting worse.
10 times out of 10, you're never going to go to a shearing shed that's got people that are doing some sort of drug. That is honestly just the truth of it all. You know, there's trying drugs or doing drugs consistently. It turns a lot of people into addicts and stuff like that, and then they push it on to others and stuff like that, yeah. I've seen it turn some good people, yeah.
This sort of thing about, oh, it's a tough industry, it's hard work, very physical. Yeah. Is that sort of reason enough to explain drug taking?
No, I don't really think so, in my opinion. You know, because as soon as my daughter was born now, I never touched any drug ever again. So I don't think so anyway.
Seems like there's issues that compile together.
Oh, for sure, without a doubt. If you're going to have somebody that's had something happen to them at a younger age and haven't had the best upbringing, they've turned to drugs, try to get away from it, and then, you know, might end up in another bad relationship or have an injury that happens to them, or, you know, anything could happen. And it's just a cycle that keeps falling back on them, and, you know, they might be looking for a hand to get out of that cycle to pull them through.
Kayla's now more aware of the mental health issues in the shed, from drug taking or otherwise. She's taken on the role of what she calls accidental counsellor.
I have a lot of employees come up to me and confide in me with a lot of personal issues going on in their life. You try and help them out, make sure you say the right thing. So,
but at the same time, it puts you in a precarious position. You know, you're not a counsellor, but you want to help these people. How do you manage that?
You just try and hope that you say the right thing and point them in the right direction, suggest that they get professional advice. But again, with those guys that do approach you, they sort of want you to be the person who holds their hand and takes them there. But I've got a lot of stuff going on in my life as well, so it's really hard to be the mother figure of everybody in the team. But yeah, I do my best to try and help everybody out.
And that includes her dad. She explained how Kino went through a major financial loss due to poor business management. In the same week he found out about the bookkeeping problem, a relationship ended, and then he was driving down the highway and he came across a car accident. Belongings and bodies were strewn across the road.
I can be sitting here now, like, talking to you, or think of something really happy, or watch TV and see something really happy on TV, somewhere in the middle, and an anxiety attack comes over. Yeah.
He got out of his car and went to help a little boy lying on the bitumen.
I raced over and I hold his head up there, and he's breathing that, and his mother came over and said, oh, is he all right? I said, no, he's breathing. He's going to leave, he's going to leave. I said, yeah, no, he's going to leave. About an hour and a half later, the medic, ambulance driver, came and stuck a thing down his, inside his rib cage, actually. And he pulled it back out and looked at his watch. He said, oh, call it, say, 9:45. Then he gets up. I looked at him and said, what do you mean? He said, oh, he's dead. Oh, shit. All right. And I felt really bad, really bad. So I woke up and I looked back and he's laying on a bitumen, and I went to the ambulance driver. I said, well, what are we going to do? We just can't leave him there. He said, he's dead. What do you want to do?
He grabbed a blanket from his truck and laid it over the body.
Yeah, people say to me, oh, you're hard on him and hard on this. But we all have a breaking point.
What haunts Kino is how he assured the mother her child would live. He feels he broke his word, and that's not something he likes to think about. Ricky is also more aware of the mental health issues facing shearers.
I see a lot more than because I'm older, but probably because I have fucking few every now and then too. Everyone does. But shearers keep it to themselves too much, like every bloke.
He has ideas about why shearers struggle.
Shearer, because they're big tough boys, you've seen us on the board, they're too scared to talk about emotionals or fucking, I've got emotional problems, you know? People need to talk, blokes need to talk. It's coming out more and more now, but you don't have to be fucking tough all the time.
but it's easier said than done.
You don't want your kids seeing your crying.
Why is that?
You look at your father as a role model, you know, he's the tough one of the family. You don't want to see your father sitting up at the end of the table every night crying his eyes, well, you know, what the fuck's going on here? You know, you're the bloody anchor of the whole show here.
I wonder, have you thought much about maybe there's power in being vulnerable?
Never.
You never thought about that?
No. No. Yeah, I'm not too sure how I'd go about doing it, though.
I think it's fair that you might get stressed or anxious sometimes. So by acknowledging that openly, Dad's being vulnerable and showing that life is tough and that makes them feel better about their issues. Are you buying any of this?
Yeah, no, because it's funny. Oh, sorry.
You get it, you get it.
Hello.
Hello. I'm just mentioning all
my... Back grinding? No.
Yeah. Do you have to wear safety goggles?
No. I need them.
When I first started, I did, but...
Oh, shit.
You just keep your eyes away and...
Yeah, okay, I'll stand back then.
At the end of a long day, when the shearers get home, they have to sharpen their clippers and clean their gear.
And how often do you put aftershave on the sheep after you do it?
Aftershave.
You never put aftershave on a lamb?
No.
You don't do that? I didn't see you rubbing. No, I'm joking, mate.
The world keeps spinning, but it seems the shearing game stays the same. In my conversations now, though, workers are more aware the conditions aren't right. They feel forgotten.
You do love it. You love the lifestyle, you love the money, but then, yeah... No one's sort of trying to back us either. So all that expense that they try to build a bloody robot to shear a sheep, they could have spent on the industry, like improving the conditions and improving the workplace.
The government need a good kick in their ass because OH&S would just have a field day, mate. Our industry would stop tomorrow. Then they'd wake up to themselves.
But Ricky feels they can't stand up because it's not in their character.
We're so used to being so tough and exhilarant, like every Aussie is, scratched up with a bit of barbed wire. We'll do it, mate. She'll be right. We'll fix it. But they're not fixing it. They're not fixing it. That's why there's no young people coming in the industry. It's too tough and it's too dangerous.
And complaining could mean losing a job they can't afford to lose.
Everyone's got their payments. We're screwed. We all need to make money. You know, times are tough.
How often do you change these?
Cutters or combs?
What's the difference?
Combs go through the wall.
So, Kingy, you look like you've clocked off early.
Yeah, I knocked off early. Oh, fucking.
On Friday, Kingy and his dad head back to Deniliquin. They're due back on Monday to finish the job. But when Monday rolls around, Kingy is a no-show. He's left Kayla high and dry.
Kayla.
You might want to hide this morning.
How come?
Kingy? Yeah, he didn't show up this morning.
Did he tell you?
No, he was all good to go. He was actually even moving down onto another stand. I moved some shearers around. It's quite disappointing when they do that. So no phone call, no nothing. Only found out off his father this morning that he wasn't coming.
Kingy's so good, he'll get another go. But if he burns them too many times, they'll have to cut him loose. And losing good shearers is a major concern for Ricky.
I don't know what's going to happen. It's scary. It's fucking scary. For the farmers and for the whole Australia, mate, you know? So, who knows?
He's got a message.
That's not good. It's a message off the ex.
Is it bad?
Just telling me how much she hates me guts.
How'd you get through that? You're just going through it now? You're still going through it?
Oh, yeah, naturally, but, mate, you just go to work in the morning and fucking drag the next sheep out. Like, don't tell too many cunts about it and fucking move on.
You just said part of the issue was people don't talk about it, but then you say you're not going to talk about it.
Yeah, because well, who am I going to talk about it to? You know, work that out. Hey, everyone's tired in the mornings, mate. How am I going to go to work and go, oh, fuck, I had a bad night last night. You know what I mean? Nah.
You talk to your brother about it?
Nah. But he goes probably through the same thing. I don't know. We don't talk about shit like that.
So who are you going to talk to?
Who? I'm talking to you, mate. You got the fucking thing stuck in my face.
Yeah. But if I wasn't here, you just wouldn't talk to anyone. You'd want to have an outlet to talk about things, to talk things through, right?
Yeah.
But you don't have that.
Yeah, but who does, mate?
Still in the Shearing Game was produced by Mike Williams. The sound engineer was Russell Stapleton. Next time on Earshot.
Hello.
There was a guy here. He was 14 when last time I was here. Will. Do you know if he's still in town?
Growing up in Hay, it's not really that easy.
What happened to Will Lewis?
It's a bit of a hellhole at times.
I'll keep looking, keep chasing. We will find him.
Yeah, Will's still here.
I've seen the effects on some people around the place.
I don't think Will's ever...
He's not picking up his phone.
Set the world on fire.
Trying to keep clear of all that stuff.
Hey, Will!
Some people make it and some people don't. Yeah, I hope to be one of them that make it.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.